something else on that?
Thank you, Gorge. There was another question. It wasn't related to that, but it was a question about Srila Prabhupada. He describes how when we're chanting the Maha Mantra, then Rama can refer to either Balaram or Lord Ram, although generally we meditate upon Krishna. And when we're chanting the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, we're meditating on Radha and Krishna. I'm wondering if, can Hare also refer to Subhadra Devi, and therefore by chanting the Maha Mantra we can meditate on Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra, and for those in our line, is it bona fide to do so, or should we always meditate on Radha and Krishna?
Hare, Subhadra, well, not directly, no. I mean, ultimately, all energies, all shaktis come from Srimati Radharani. But since we're trying to awaken a direct connection, then and I've never heard that said, then I don't think it's something that we should practice. And our meditation should be on what Balaram, Jagannath, Subhadra, and meditate on Radhishyam, which is Radhishyam and Radha Krishna's pastimes. So ultimately, the idea is to get people to chant Hare Krishna, and they may meditate on these different acceptable forms, and Hare can refer to Hari or Krishna, and does, but we shouldn't make anything up.
Okay. Thank you.
And then?
Jhana Vapriya.
In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, Krishna says that somebody who does his prescribed duty without attachment, lack of duty, then he's a renouncer in the mode of goodness. And a few verses later, he says that for such a renouncer, there is no reaction. So I was wondering whether this no reaction applies to somebody who renounces or works in the mode of goodness, or only for those who also offer the fruits of their work to Krishna, who work in Krishna consciousness or who work in transcendence.
Well, the Jnanis, yogis, if they come to that, they come to that platform of goodness, and they're engaged in some form of bhakti, although that may not necessarily be their goal. They can free themselves from all other karmic reactions, although the karmic reactions that are due at present generally only by devotional service. And let me see. And here is, so Prithu Maharaj says, yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karma shayam gratitam ud grati yanti shanta tadvam nariktam atayo yatayo pirudha shroto ganas tadaram bhajabhashudevam. The devotees who are always engaged in the service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord can very easily overcome the hard-knotted desires for fruitive actions. Because this is very difficult for the non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, although trying to stop the waves of sense gratification, cannot do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudev. So, unless people are engaged in devotional service to some degree, then it won't be possible. And there are different degrees. Just like, for instance, there is karma, mishra, bhakti, which means that your bhakti is mixed or motivated with fruitive action. And there is bhakti, mishra, karma, which means that your karma, karmic activities, is mixed to a certain degree with bhakti. And similarly, there is also bhakti mishra yoga and bhakti mishra gyan. So as long as that bhakti is there, then it'll work, at least according to the strength of that devotional activity. But generally speaking, it will really all karmic reaction, especially prarabdha karma. In other words, what we see right now, that you can only neutralize by devotional service.
So, is it the correct understanding that just the mode of goodness in itself doesn't free one from reactions, only bhakti is added to it?
Yeah, it's even questionable whether someone can be in the mode of goodness with some connection with bhakti. So there has to be some devotional activity. Something else?
Yeah.
What about the kids, the boys?
You got a question? They're all too shy.
That's strange.
They're pretending to be shy.
Okay, what's next?
Daniel, you got?
Hare Krishna, Guru Raj. My question is on the meaning of samskar. I've been trying to understand this word, and I've found that the meaning of samskar is purificatory process. But I've also heard the word samskara be described as impressions in the mind from experiences that we have. And when I was looking it up, there was one translation that was samskara meant remnants. So, and that's the closest thing that I've seen where it may allude to remnants of experience and impression. So I was wondering where there is this understanding of samskara meaning impression, like grooves, you know, from experiences, grooves are made in the mind, which then directs one's consciousness and behaviors and thoughts. And
yes, so it means different things. I mean, the word, there's one thing is the word, and the other one is the samskaras, the activities. So it depends which one you're talking about. Just like the word maya means illusion, it also means mercy. It means many things, depends what's the context that it's being used in. So if you're talking about the samskar activities, they are material purificatory activities, and they're meant to actually leave an impression also. And they leave, just like you've got vivaha yagya, marriage. So it's a purificatory activity it's performed in a way as to actually purify bride, groom, and everyone involved. And it's also meant to give a deep impression on them. That's what the whole ceremony is all about. The ceremony is all about making an impression on them, which is to follow the vows of marriage, not to get divorced, and everything that marriage is about. So both of those things are there when you're talking about samskar ceremony. But in principle, the ceremony means a purificatory rite. And there are so many purificatory rites. Just like the first day when children first go to school. So it's also a purificatory activity, probably more of an impression at that stage than a purificatory activity. Making a real impression on the children, who this is something really serious happening and taking place, and so they now we're going to school, so they really take it very seriously, and it really has a real impression on them. The idea is that they should now behave themselves and listen and take this education very seriously. And then, of course, there may be different things like yajnas and sacrifice and mantras that go along with that, which is meant to make a auspicious atmosphere and to invoke a right type of consciousness in the child. And so there's all these 18 different samskars that more or less people should go through. They make for Prabhupada talks about when he remembered when his mother was pregnant, and that at different stages of the pregnancy there would be different ceremonies, and he remembered that, I don't know in what month, at some particular month, then Brahmins would come and chant mantras, and everyone people would come, and there would be big prasadam distribution, and the mother would receive new cloth and jewelry like that. So here was Prabhupada, 75 years down the road, he was expressing what a strong impression that made on him when he was just like 5 years old. Because if you want to establish a culture, you have to impress the culture in people's minds so that it's something that they're also going to do down the line. And without that type of samskara, then it's not civilization. That's animal society. So, and that's how you invoke good material circumstances, and especially when it's done with things like chanting Hare Krishna and presence of Vaishnavas and getting Vaishnavas' blessings and hearing Shastra, then it becomes a spiritual event. So again, it's part of a culture. We're meant to be introducing this culture.
So can the word samskara be alternatively understood as just impressions, or is it material purificatory?
If you look up Sanskrit dictionary, it probably means 10 different things. It's a question of whether you're talking about what a word means. Or what it's being
applied to. Sit there. Sit right there.
Whoever's got their microphone off needs to turn it off. Who's got their microphone on? Yeah. So are you just looking for what a word means, or are you looking for what that actual ceremony is about?
I was actually looking for what the word means in terms of impressions.
Anyway, it means impressions also.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Gaurav.
Okay, anyone else?
Rohini Nandan Prabhu.
Who?
Rohini Nandan Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Mm-hmm, Hare Krishna.
I'm looking at this camera. I've heard many times that most people in modern society are going down after this life because of so many sinful activities which we are all performing. And I've read this verse, which is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 11, Verse 31. I'll just read the, small fractions of it. So it goes like this. The conduct of different sections of people according to their material modes of nature is auspicious both in this life and after death. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, the antyajas, the men of the lower classes, are accustomed to stealing, drinking, and illicit sex, but that is not considered sinful. And later on, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport how he compares them to like wild animals, like tigers, that for them is not considered sinful to eat another animal. So I was wondering, what's the position of people in modern society today?
Well, when you have people who are outcast, in other words, that they don't have any social rights, because that's part of a Varnashram system, those people, they're completely outcast. They have no rights, even the rights of a Shudra. The benefits that they get from more or less they're living in the jungle, so they're like aboriginal type people, and they may be accustomed to different types of sinful activities in terms of what is expected of them. Then there's no sinful reaction. In other words, since they're living more or less lives like animals, so therefore animals also do these things, and there's no sinful reaction on their part. That doesn't mean that they aren't conditioned by those activities or go further down by performing those activities. And as a result of that, they're still falling further down. And that's sinful activity in terms of sinful activity breaking the codes of Dharma or Varnashram. There may still be different reactions that they get in terms of what's expected of someone in a human body. I'm aware of that. Prabhupada doesn't really elaborate too much further. I'd be interested to see what acharyas say. But there are certain classes of people or certain circumstances where people don't get punished or they don't have sinful reaction for certain things. It's just like children. Children below a certain age are absolved of any kind of karmic reaction. That doesn't necessarily mean that their conduct doesn't condition them. It's like Vena. Vena was very sinful as a child. He used to kill so many other kids. From a karmic point of view, up until a certain time, he may have not been responsible for that. But that didn't mean that developing that habit didn't have consequences for him. And then as far as people in today's society, think in today's society, more or less everything's so upside down that neither you have no varnashram system, and you can't even say that people fall into the category of outcasts. Everyone is just very, very fallen. But they're certainly responsible for their sinful activities, because they're expecting rights that are actually the prerogative of higher orders of society. So these people are forest dwellers. Modern people are not forest dwellers. They want education, they want to become rich, they want all kinds of luxuries and so on. So you can't have the assets of varnas and ashramas without getting, without providing the liabilities or the conduct that goes along with them. And if you don't follow that conduct, then you're going to be sinful. On the other hand, there may be people in different parts of the world who really live under aboriginal circumstances and don't expect any other type of... Just like I remember reading this article on a man who was who's an Australian aborigine, and they lived out in the forest. They were living out there in the desert, and he said they were all naked. No one wore clothes, but they had their traditions, and they ate. They would eat. What are those type of big bugs that? Anyway, they would eat anything. Anything that moved, practically speaking. But they still had their traditions. He said every woman treated every child just as if it was their own child. He says, I had many mothers. It was a very good thing. And then when the British or the Australians, the so-called civilized people, came and made them dress. And of course they became just like, for instance, the American Indians in the United States and in Canada. As soon as they contacted Western civilization, they just like lost it. They're all like, I don't know, 70-80% drunks, just because alcohol has such an extraordinary effect on them. So, but they didn't want that type of lifestyle. They didn't like it. They wanted to be who they were, but they were brainwashed to be someone else by the so-called civilized class, who are actually no better than them, except the fact that they want the prerogatives of civilization as well. But then if you want that, then you have to take the sinful reaction that comes along with it. Okay, we've got a few more minutes. Anything else on that?
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
I'm just looking at the time. We are on Friday, the 22nd, and now getting into longer days. 2 weeks from now, I'm in Bucharest, so that's no good. And on the 4th, I already speak with Russian devotees. It could be the next week, either the 11th or 12th, something like that. And Nimai, did you check on this Zoom code that I sent you? Was that right?
Yeah, that was the first Zoom conference code, so I think it was just confusion, perhaps. It was the first code.
Okay, you got to send me another one then.
I'll send you the latest one for the next one.
I just pulled it from one to the other.
Yeah, and I can send a calendar invite, so it's in your calendar.
And then, okay, so what day, 11th or 12th?
It's a weekday, right?
Yep, it's Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, that well, that weekend I'm in the UK, so there's no point. And next weekend is Buchu after that, so that's not going to work. Anyway, it's night time. Is that a good time for anybody or everybody?
11th is good.
11th, okay.
11th is good as well.
Okay, same time, 6:30. So that's 7:30 my time. Okay. And that's 7:30. Okay, anyone have any last question or any topic?
Brinda had a question and Gaur Kishore Prabhu had a question.
Okay, but we may only get to Brinda's question. Let's see what it is.
Just on the point of presenting culture, we hear from time to time that people don't mind the philosophy or the side on the kirtan, but the sari and dhoti bit, they don't. That's not for them. Or they find it or sometimes they may find the devotees dressed that way unapproachable or like that. So I was just wondering, in these kind of rich preaching programs, then should be like long skirts and sharp saris, and then just the point when they're kind of purified, just to get them to be purified and not considered strange or okay.
Anyway, it depends what kind of program you're talking about. You may do a program where you're not dressed in devotional clothes, but if you're doing a Hare Krishna program, then you're going as a Hare Krishna, because that's what people expect. And if you're doing something else, then it may be. It just depends. Initially, it's not a problem whether people are initially dressed like that. But Hare Krishnas shouldn't be dressed like that. When they're looking for Hare Krishnas, coming to a Hare Krishna temple, or you're going out on a festival, or you're doing Rath Yatra, then you should, people expect you to look like a Hare Krishna. They're not going to a Hare Krishna festival to look at people who look at that like them. Where are you? Is that clear or?
Shrunk.
Yeah. So it just depends.
Thank you very much.
Okay. And what was the last question?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, my question was that when Lord Chaitanya came to the planet, did he like meditate upon himself?
He meditated on Krishna. And he didn't think that he was Krishna. He was thinking that he's a devotee of Krishna. So he was meditating on Krishna. Just like just like we are also meditating on Krishna. So that was that's what it means. Lord Chaitanya comes, and he comes in the mood of Radharani, and he comes in the mood and with the complexion of Srimati Radharani, which means that just like Radharani meditates on Krishna, so that's how Lord Chaitanya was also meditating on Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to meditate on Krishna too?
Yeah.
All right. So like you're meditating on Krishna, that's how he's also meditating on Krishna. And then Lord Chaitanya would also meditate on devotees. Because the way to get to Krishna is through Krishna's devotees. Hare Krishna. Okay, I can see that
thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, so we'll, it seems like we'll talk on the 11th, and then I'll be there on the 13th for that event. Is it being billed as a big event?
Is it a big event?
Is Radha Damodar on online?
Yes, but not on video.
Oh.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Radha speaking.
Yeah. Is it
big? It's become a big event.
It's a big. Are you cooking?
No, we're sitting.
No,
well, I want to cook, but they won't let me.
Oh, who's cooking?
Krishna, Puna, and team, and all the devotees are helping.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yourself, President, and Abhinandan Prabhu's coming. Rasamrita Maharaj, Lord Prabhupada disciples will be there.
Sure.
So it's a big event.
Sounds like a real do.
We're looking for you. Looking forward to your presence as well. Grace the wedding.
Hare Krishna. Great, well. Yeah. Now at least when the people ask me, well, I thought you didn't go to weddings. I said, I do. When people give an itya seva at the wedding. I don't want to sound mercenary, but. Okay, sounds good. So then we'll be in touch then. We're going to go because we're an hour ahead of you. Hare Krishna, glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bo, Hare Krishna.